today as we come to the table.
The servant of the Lord comes. He says, you know what? You're welcome in my home. How many of us can say that to the Holy Spirit today? We may say it verbally, but let me ask you this. You see, yeah, the Holy Spirit's welcome in my home. Let me ask you this. Does he feel welcome in your home? What's happening on your TV? What's happening in your movies? What's happening in the things you're reading? What's happening within your house that would make the Holy Spirit say, thanks, but no thanks? Are we grieving him away? You see, another thing that the Holy Spirit is looking for in the bride of Christ is, where's a place that I'm invited in and I can feel home? And Rebecca is filling all the categories, checking them off one by one by one.
A moment to reflect. Is the Holy Spirit truly welcome in your life? Today in his teaching, Pastor Mark shares about a woman in the Bible named Rebecca. When Abraham's servant showed up, she and her family were hospitable and gracious. This is the same way that you should treat the Holy Spirit. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Consider the TV shows you watch, the language you use, your social media, the way you treat others. Are you cultivating a welcoming environment for the Holy Spirit to dwell? If not, ask the Lord to show you the areas in your life that grieve Him. Respond in obedience by making adjustments that please the Spirit. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Luke, chapter 12, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Listen to what it says in Luke 12:32. Jesus speaking to his disciples, that's us. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not just all things, the kingdom is yours. When we're there with him, he said, this is yours, it belongs to you. Yes, I rule over everything, but you're one with me. You're my bride, and now it belongs to you. What a glorious, amazing truth and future that we have. Now, again, sometimes in the scripture, God gives us a beautiful story that really lays out the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the bride, and all these things. He gives us these pictures in scripture to help us put flesh on it, to understand it a little bit better. And God has done that in his scripture with Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac. And so we're going to end today. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 24. Go back in your Bible to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 24, because we're going to look at a beautiful biblical picture that the Holy Spirit has given us in how the Father, getting a bride for his Son, is led by the helper, the Holy Spirit, and to make this thing all work. And then when it's all said and done, she inherits everything that belongs to the family, to the Father and to the Son. I love it. Chapter 24 of Genesis, look what it says here, starting in verse 1, chapter 24. Verse 1. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Again, that's what God does. He blesses us in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. He didn't want him to go back and get a worldly woman, so to speak. He wanted him to keep it in the family of God. Abraham was a descendant of the promises of God, and that application goes to us today. God expects believers to marry within believing family. That is, we're not to marry out in the world because it brings problems. And so the same thing Abraham's concerned about here is that very thing. But notice this whole picture that's forming. The Father is now sending a servant to find the Son a bride. Do you see a picture developing? Now this gets more intense as we go through this because it's interesting. The Father sends an unnamed servant. Remember the job of the Holy Spirit? Not to draw attention to himself. He's to be in the background. He's to point to the Son. He doesn't point to himself. He doesn't make a big thing about his own name. This is about Jesus. And so it's interesting to me here to see that the servant is unnamed, and yet what really makes this cool is it tells us earlier in Genesis what the servant's name was. His name was Eliezer. Guess what Eliezer means? My God is help, or we might say helper. So now we see the father sending the helper to get a bride for his son. I think you see what the Holy Spirit is doing here and laying out this beautiful picture of what God does in our life. We're the bride of Christ. The Father sent the Holy Spirit to come and to draw us to his son, to join us with him, and again, to make us his wife so that we have all things. Now, what's this put your hand under my thigh thing? That was a cultural thing they did when they took vows. And it literally was, again, they would put it toward, you put your hand down, they put their leg right over right here, and it was supposed to be close to where the children were. That is the, what was the inheritance would come from the father, okay? And the bottom line was you were saying, I swear to you and to your heritage after you that I'll keep this vow. It was a very cultural thing here that they did. This was not unusual. We see it more than once in the scriptures, but that's what's happening. So now he's going to find this bride for his son. Look at verse 5. It says, and the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? And again, remember, no, don't. I don't want him with someone who's not a part of the family of God. Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. You know, this has got to be within the family here of what God is doing. And the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and brought me from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants, I give this land. He will send his angels before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Note this, if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. It's interesting, the bride has a choice. The bride can say, yes, I receive the son, or the bride can say, no, I don't want the son. I realize that comes with huge theological implications. I'll let the Holy Spirit work as he wants to. Look at verse 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. Note this, for all his master's goods were in his hand. All things have been given to Jesus, and Jesus will give all things to us if we'll just be his bride. You see this building to this wonderful romantic crescendo between these two, but also between us and the church. I love this. Isn't the Lord good? Look at verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And again, that was cultural that day. The women would go and draw the water and bring it back. And he said, oh, Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit is spoken of as being poured out and being baptized. And now we see the Spirit here, this picture of the Holy Spirit around water with the bride of Christ. It's beautiful. And the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels drink. Let her be the one that you've appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you've shown kindness to my master. Guys, this is amazing here for a number of reasons, because notice what he said. Have her say, I'll not only get you water, but I'm gonna go get your camels water. Let me tell you a little something about camels. Camels can drink 53 gallons of water in 3 minutes. How many camels did he bring with him? 10 camels. Now, I'm not gonna do the math because I'm bad at that, but you can figure it out. It's a lot, because my girls always correct me when I get home. That wasn't that, Dad. You were off by 1,000 or whatever. So anyway, here's the bottom line. Here's the point. Why would he ask such a large thing? Because when the father is looking for a bride for his son, he's looking for servants. He's looking for servants. We have an easy believism in America. Give your life to the Lord and don't do anything. And let me say this. If you give your life to the Lord and don't do anything, are you still going to heaven? Absolutely. The Bible just says you have to believe and receive and you'll be in the kingdom of God. You don't have to do anything. He did it all on the cross. However, here's what the Father's looking for when it comes to a bride for his son. Someone who is not only willing to be a servant, but will go over and above and beyond and get some 500 and something gallons of water. How long did it take her to do that? I don't know. But I know these 10 camels have been traveling across the desert for a long time. I know that all she had was a bucket, and she's going back and forth dumping water in these troughs, back and forth dumping water in this trough. He must have been standing there going, my goodness, is this a servant? This is the one for my master's son, Isaac. This is the one we need for our family. This is the one. This is what the Father's looking for. Powerful, powerful, convicting picture here when it comes to where we feel we need to belong or what we need to do and serve. Look, it's not to lay a burden on us. I'm not saying that. Everybody's got some big burden. Now, if I don't do this huge amount thing over and above, God would love me. No, God loves you and accepts you as you are. But some of us need to say, am I doing anything? Have I gotten one bucket of water? Have I ever even gotten one bucket of water and gone to pour it for the Lord? Listen, I challenge you, pour a bucket of water. Because as you start to pour buckets of water for the Lord, you're going to do more and more, and you're going to be filled with joy and be used greater and greater. And on judgment day, you're going to have greater and greater rewards because of your service for the Lord. And so, again, he asks a big thing, but it's something that he's looking for specifically. And it happened before he had finished speaking. Look there at verse 15. God hears before we even finish, the Bible says, before we even speak, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. And the young woman, who was very beautiful to behold, was a virgin. No man had ever known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. Again, we are called the virgin bride of Christ, not because we're not guilty of sin, but because when we give our life to Jesus, we're washed clean. And now we see the virgin bride of Christ pictured here for the son. It's about to be revealed. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Notice, he's not going to say it. She's got to say it. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Wow. This is where the wonder and the excitement, this is the one. Look at this servant for my father's son. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all of the camels, that is all 10 of them. And the man, wondering at her, no doubt, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. I would think you should know by now, but again, that's how we are, isn't it? When God reveals it so clearly, we still question. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing a half a shekel, two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" And so again, it doesn't say that he gave them to her yet. We're going to see in a moment she puts them on. I think in excitement she wears them, but there's not the official, "These are yours" yet. But it's interesting that he's letting her know, "Hey, I'm from my father's house, and my father's house has a lot of wealth." And again, when God is drawing in people to him, he wants them to know, you inherit the kingdom of God. You're inheriting everything God has if you become a part of the family. So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore." I'd be like, "Who do you want me to be?" No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, moreover, look at verse 25. "Moreover, she said to him, 'We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge.'" Isn't this interesting? The servant of the Lord comes. He says, "You know what? You're welcome in my home." How many of us can say that to the Holy Spirit today? We may say it verbally, but let me ask you this. You see, yeah, the Holy Spirit's welcome in my home. But let me ask you this. Does he feel welcome in your home? What's happening on your TV? What's happening in your movies? What's happening in the things you're reading? What's happening within your house that would make the Holy Spirit say, "Thanks, but no thanks"? Are we grieving him away? You see, another thing that the Holy Spirit is looking for in the bride of Christ is, where's a place that I'm invited in and I can feel home? And Rebecca is filling all the categories, checking them off one by one by one. And the man bowed down his head and he worshiped God. He's undone. This is a God thing. I know it. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not taken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. I imagine how excited she ran back. "There's this guy out there and he's got all kinds of money. He'll be praised. He said to our family." Who knows what was happening? She was probably excited. And Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. And it came to pass when she saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, oh, blessed of the Lord." Now, again, we learn about Laban early on. This is a guy that likes money. So when he sees this guy, "Oh, blessed of the Lord," I don't think this was necessarily the sweetness of his heart. There probably was a little greed going on here. But either way, you know, "You're blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and the place for the camels." And then the man came to the house and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I've told you about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So this is too important. We'll eat later. You've got to hear why God sent me. This is amazing. So he said, "I'm Abraham's servant." He would have known immediately who Abraham was. This is family. "The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he's given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he's given all that he has." Notice, the son has been given by the father all that he has. He's laying the groundwork for you. "I need a bride, and she will inherit that as well." Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I speak will send his angel with you and prosper the way. And you shall take a wife for my son, from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. For if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from the oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I'll draw for all your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebecca, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me have a drink. And she made haste and let the pitcher down from her shoulder. She said, drink, and I'll give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink. I didn't mean to try to sound like Rebecca. I apologize. Drink. She gave the camels a drink also. And then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Micah bore to him. And he's going, yes. This is Abraham's family. And I didn't say that in here, but you get it. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. It's almost like I'm showing her what's available if she says yes. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord. And I blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will do kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, then tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Look, this amazing thing has happened. This is of God, but you've got to give the answer. I can't force this on you, but what's it going to be? Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We can't speak to you bad or good, either one. Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. They recognized God speaking. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Can you imagine how excited he was? And the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them. Notice this time, he didn't just let Rebekah hold them. He gave them to Rebekah, and he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Guys, here's what happens. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you gifts from on high. He'll give you precious gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all the gifts of the Spirit. That is because you're the bride, and the servant's job is to find the bride, bring the bride. When you say yes, he's to pour out the gifts of heaven on you, the bride, to receive all the jewelry of heaven, if you will, in a spiritual sense. And now we see this whole picture being played out by Eliezer, the helper, pouring out these gifts on the bride. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night, and they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, well, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. I don't know why they chose 10, but, you know, let her a little while. After that, you can go, well, we're going to lose her forever, maybe. We may never see her again. There weren't planes and cars. Can she stay a little bit longer? I understand that. But when it's time for the Lord to call his bride, there is no waiting. For today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. I look at verse 56. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, well, we'll call the young woman and ask her personally. Again, she needs to make that choice. And so they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. It's the same today as will you receive Jesus Christ as Lord? Will you? The Holy Spirit asks you the same question. And you have to make up your mind. I will either do it or I will not do it. She says, yes, I will go. And of course, no doubt he was all the more excited here. Yes, she's going to go. This is awesome. And so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels, and they followed the man. Again, that picture of following the Spirit back to the son, the husband. So the servant took Rebekah and departed, and Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahroi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, no doubt praying, and I'll say probably going, Lord, are you going to bring me a bride? He knew that his father had sent the helper to go find a bride, his servant. He's probably praying to God and wondering, am I ever going to get a bride? And now we see this beautiful love story developing as he's waiting in this field, and his bride is brought to him. I love it. And so he's, again, notice this, and he's there in the field to meditate in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. That's a sign of respect and humility. Again, as we give the Lord Jesus, we respect him and are humble before him. For she had said to the servant, "Who is the man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." In other words, that's your husband. So she took a veil and covered herself. Look at her beauty and humility. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. So here's what happened, Isaac. And I imagine Eliezer, you can see this little picture, and going, he goes, you know, whatever. And he's looking at her, looking at him, looking at her, looking at him. And he starts to just look more at her. Okay, I like the story, but wow, she's beautiful. And you brought me this bride and this whole beautiful relationship, this love story that God put together himself. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Remember the job of the Holy Spirit? He's our helper, and he's our what? Our comforter. But guys, note this. Where was it that the son met his bride? It wasn't at their home. They were out in the field. What's my point in that? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that the first place we see Jesus, for those of us that are raptured and taken up officially as his bride, because that's when the official bride's going to be gathered, those that are there will join, but those that are here will also come together as the bride complete. It says we're going to meet the Lord in the air first, and then once we meet the Lord in the air, it's from there we go home to be with him in his kingdom. Where, by the way, there would have immediately been here a 7-day wedding feast celebrating his relationship and marriage to Rebekah. The Bible says when God grabs us and takes us up to heaven and then brings us into his kingdom, there's going to be a 7-year wedding feast in heaven with the Lord, our new husband, if you will, in the spiritual sense, while all these final 7 years of the great tribulation and everything else that's going on is happening down here on the earth, and we will forever be with the Lord. And then what does he say? Comfort one another with these words. Is that comforting or what? Now listen, for the believer, that's comforting. But for some of you guys who don't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, the Holy Spirit's convicting you today. And here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit, the Father, has sent the helper. He sent the Spirit to come and say, you know what? You need the Son. You need to be part of the bride of Christ. You need to confess your sin, believe that Jesus died on the cross, and receive him as Lord and Savior. And you're feeling that conviction. God is drawing you in. Don't fight that. Oh, can I wait just 10 days? Just 10 more days? No, today is the day of salvation. Now is when you make the decision. And I want to encourage you, there's only one sin you're going to be judged for on Judgment Day, and that is the rejection of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. If right now you confess your sin, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, move by the power of the Holy Spirit, just say yes to the move of the Holy Spirit, say yes to Jesus, you will become his bride forever, and you inherit all things for all eternity. I can't think of a better deal, and I can't imagine anyone wanting to turn that down. You have the invitation, not by me, but by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you taught us and are teaching us about the Holy Spirit. We need to know it as believers. We need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened by all this. But Lord, at the same time, there are no doubt some that are hearing this, God, that are convicted by your Holy Spirit because you have come to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you're doing it all around the globe right now. And I pray if there's any being convicted of their sin right now, that they would confess their sin. If that's you, begin to confess it. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. And all you have to do is believe he died on the cross. Say, Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross and spilled your blood for me. And then you need to do like Rebekah did. Will you say yes or no? This is your moment.
You've just been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're currently going through the Gospel book of John. If you're new to the faith, John is a great place to start. You learn of such fundamental truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for each and every person. Jesus was even willing to meet with a Pharisee late at night to further explain who he was and what his purpose in coming was. Jesus talked with Nicodemus about being born again. All of this was referring to a spiritual rebirth that he was offering to this man and everyone else who would ever live. What an invitation! John 3:16 was spoken during this meetup, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you accepted this invitation from Jesus? We hope that this message has brought some clarity to what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions about the things you've heard today, would you give us a call? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know about any questions you might have by going to our website and finding the questions or comments link. Our website is thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come visit us at Calvary, Knoxville. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom to find a link to Calvary, Knoxville. That's all we have for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.